Father, we just... Father, we come before you this morning. God, just thanking you for a brand new year. God, just looking ahead with anticipation to what you're going to be doing in our lives, in the lives of our church. Father, in the lives of our community. God, it's easy to praise you when things are going incredibly well, but we still have sickness in the world. We still have uncertainty all around us. We still have things that we worry about, things that concern us, things that stress us out. And so, Father, for just this time, I pray, God, that we would be able to put all of that stuff aside. I pray that we would be able to focus our hearts, focus our attention, focus everything that we have upon you, upon your word, God, and just build off of 2020. Just build off of the lessons that Bud's brought to us this past month. Father, and then at the end of the service today, just celebrate that commitment to you. Father, just examining ourselves today and God, just allowing you to work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that, man, for those that are watching at home, God, I pray that they would certainly be a part of Common Ground today and be a part of the church collective across the globe, worshiping you, praising you, honoring you. I just pray, Lord, that that we would be just able to come before your throne this morning, just as we are, whatever that may look like, whatever that may be. Father, we love you, I praise you, and I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry for the squelch this morning. And Happy New Year to everybody. Oh, yeah. So hopefully it'll be a little bit better than a continuation of 2020. That has yet to be seen, though. But that's a good thing about starting something new, starting something fresh. Guys, I know Bud concluded 2020 last year with a sermon series called Make Room. And we looked at the lives of a few different people of the Christmas story. We looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, we looked at the shepherds, and we looked at Simeon. And each one of those people, God interrupted their lives and interrupted their plans for what they had going on. But each one of them was willing to follow God's direction. And for some, it was an unexpected kind of journey. But they were willing to jump up and go and see this thing that God was doing. For others, they had time to think about it. They had time to kind of pray over what was going on, and they had time to prepare for what was fixing to happen in their lives. And then for Simeon had waited all of his life to see the Christ being born. He had waited all of his life to see what God was going to do and how God was going to bring hope to the entire world. And my hope for you, my hope for us, is that that series kind of has given us some anticipation, has given us that that God's going to do something more in our lives than we really ever expected. And with that anticipation inside of us, and you know, this afternoon or in a little while, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper. I just want to take this time right now and just kind of prepare our hearts. Hopefully, you know, it's a brand new year, brand new start. You know, most of us, well, some of us anyway, have already started to eat better and try to work out a little bit more, all that good stuff. So, you know, and that's what we were going to do today. At the end of the service, is take the Lord's Supper and stuff. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And I apologize for the sweating and all that this morning. For some reason, my nerves are, you know, driving me insane. So you bear with it. I can't help it. I get nervous. And if y'all can fix the sound, it sounds, I'll bring it down or something. I don't know. Sounds crazy up here. One of the things that I've been, Bible studies that I've been studying past few weeks on my own is a series called Who Has Your Heart? And I just wanted to share that with you guys this morning because I think it's a good question that we can ask ourselves coming into a brand new year. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so we have to ask ourselves, who has our heart? What is that thing in life or those things in life that we are captivated by? What are those things in life that that direct our life? What does that even mean? If you've ever been to my house, right inside my front door, probably like some of yours, I have a coat closet, right? And it has coats in it, obviously. But it also has all the other stuff. That's our catch-all closet, okay? I don't know if some of you have, like, photo albums, right, in your house. Okay, well, we used to have photo albums, and then I think it's Hurricane Ike came and flooded our bookshelf, and it almost destroyed all our photo albums. So instead of putting them out now on a bookshelf, we have them in this huge Tupperware, or not Tupperware, one of them huge totes, plastic tote, that's shoved in the bottom of the closet. There's some Xbox 360, I don't even know whose it is, stuck in my closet. I've had people live with us, you know, after all the other hurricanes we've had. And so that's shoved in the closet. It's full of coats. I'm not sure what's on the top of it. There's a top shelf in there. It's full of stuff. And usually what happens is if you come over to my house, if you came over right now, it would be messy. But if you came over to my house, you were invited or whatever, then we're going to spend about that hour before you get there cleaning everything up. And we shove everything into that closet. Okay? That's normal. Well, at some point, we open the closet, and we're like, ah, man, we got to clean this thing out. So we'll take everything out, and we start going through, you know, going through the stuff that's in there. And I know I don't know why, my wife keeps all the receipts for everything. Okay? We have those little things that your insurance will send you, like if you go to the doctor and it shows that they paid something. We have those from 10 years ago in our closet. I'm like, oh, we don't need these things. And so that closet is full of stuff that I could probably I tell April all the time that I'm just going to open the front door and start putting price tags on stuff. And we're going to have just a big garage sale, right? Anyway, my closet is probably like your closet. It's got all kinds of stuff in it, and we try to unpack it sometimes, and the unpacking doesn't go well because we go through it and we're overwhelmed by it, and we just shove it back in the closet, shut the door so nobody else will see it. Our hearts are the same way sometimes. Man, our hearts get so clogged up with the stuff of life that when we say, oh, we need to change things, we need to do something different, and we start to unpack it, we find out that there's way more in there than what should be in there, and so we just stop. Sometimes our hearts are like that. Sometimes they're full of stuff that we don't want folks to see. Sometimes they're full of stuff that we don't even really want to acknowledge or recognize ourselves. But Proverbs 4:23, God puts a value on our hearts, so much so that it comes with its own warning. And he says, above all else, guard your heart. The Hebrew word for heart means inner man or your mind or your will. But it's who you are on the inside. And so it says, guard your heart. So if you were to re-ask that question, who has your heart? You could ask it in a way that was like, who has that innermost part of who you are? Or what is it that you are consumed by inside? It advises us to constantly watch over our innermost self, because that's where all of our issues of life come from. And to do that, sometimes we have to take a hard look at who we are inside. We have to examine ourselves. We have to examine our lives. We have to be cognizant of everything that affects us. Every aspect of life, everything that we deal with, how does that affect who I am in Christ and how I respond? And then we have to look at what we prioritize in our lives as well. And sometimes that unpacking and examining all of that stuff is not exactly the most pretty thing to do. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. The Word of God admonishes us. It says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. And all through Scripture, God's Word tells us to make His Word a priority in our life. Something that we do daily. And God's Word, I know for most of you, if you're like me, there's pretty much every day I have one certain song stuck in my head. And it may be something that I heard on the radio before, or it may be something that, you know, I really like and I play, you know, I've played it a couple of times. And so for the rest of the day, it's stuck in my head. That's kind of what the psalmist is kind of encouraging us to do, because God's Word is the same way. God's Word, where He's talking about meditate on His Word day and night, it's the same thing. Same thing as having that song stuck in your head, is where you're reading, you're studying, you're diving into God's Word, and it's just something that you go over and over and over again every day. We have the time to read and study in our daily lives. 2020 has kind of shut things down, kept us from going everywhere that we want to go, kept us from being in crowds of people. Some of my students have asked me, we always go to Hot Hearts in Beaumont in January. Hot Hearts is not a thing this year. Well, it's online, which I don't even know what that means. We're going to figure that one out. But I even had some parents, you know, saying, hey, I want to be a chaperone. I'm glad. I want you to be a chaperone. I need chaperones for camp, too. So, but anyway, and hopefully this year, we didn't get to go to camp last year. Hopefully this year, you know, camp will, right now, it's scheduled to be, to go. But 2020 has kind of changed our lives a little bit. And so we say, but we still say, man, I don't have time. And the fact of the matter is we do. We do have time, because it's what we prioritize in our lives. It's what we choose to do. And so whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the evening, whether it be throughout the day or sometime during the day, put God's Word into your life and make His Word a priority by reading, digesting, applying God's Word to our daily lives. His Word exposes everything that Satan tries to trap us with, or schemes in our lives that Satan tries to get us away from, to get us away from our relationship with God. God's Word exposes that stuff. That's the same thing with, you know, His Word's going to cause you to figure out what you believe and what you follow after. His Word's going to expose the lies of this world. His word's going to expose the lies that maybe we've believed in our life. His word's going to push us to crisis of belief in all kinds of areas instead of just going with the flow. And when we spend time in his presence, when we spend time in his word, it changes us from the inside out. John 10:10. I'm sure it's a pretty familiar verse to everybody. But Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God is sitting there saying that, you know, Satan's whole job is to kill, to steal, to destroy our relationship with God. And it takes some action on your part to keep that from happening. You have to recognize what's going on in your life. You have to recognize what's going on in your heart. You have to recognize what's going on in the world around you, or the world around all of us, to kind of combat that, to be proactive and pursue God. Satan's whole intent is to take you away from your relationship with God, mainly through distractions. Distractions in life are those things that keep us running in circles. They keep us bound up, keep us not living in the freedom that Christ has given us. Those are things that keep us busy and keep us stagnant. I don't think the next scripture is going to be on the screen, because I kind of threw it in last night. Because believe it or not, I come up here and when I have opportunity to and practice to an empty audience, to an empty sanctuary. And for whatever reason, I'm still sweating and nervous, you know, on Sunday mornings. But anyway, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we're talking, Jesus is talking to different churches in through the Apostle John. And if you look in verse 15, he's writing to the church at Laodicea. And Laodicea was it was a town in modern-day Turkey. We'll just read. Verse 15, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Now, there's two schools of thought on this verse of Scripture, and I tend to lean towards what I'm fixing to tell you. Laodicea was a town where it was kind of between two towns, one town called Hierapolis and one town called Colossae. And Laodicea itself got its water from both places. There were hot springs up in Hierapolis, and they flowed down about 5 miles to Laodicea. And there was a cold river in Colossae that flowed via aqueduct to Laodicea. And so by the time either one of them got to Laodicea, they were lukewarm. Now, the hot springs were good for medicinal purposes. If you've ever actually, you know, sat in a whirlpool, well, maybe not a whirlpool, but actually hot springs, you know, it makes you feel all fluffy and good and, you know, kind of spa-like. That's what they had, you know, there. Hot summer day, you can go swim in the river in Colossae, and things felt great and wonderful. Had fresh drinking water. By the time it got to Laodicea, they had neither. The water was, I don't know if any of you ever grew up with well water. Friend of mine, when I grew up in Alabama, friend of mine had, they had not a good well from their house. Okay, so when we went over to their house and we got water out of the tap, it smelled like rotten eggs. You know, had a good bit of sulfur in it, you know, and they thought that it was the best water in the world. You know, this right here comes from some spring in Texas somewhere, and it doesn't smell like rotten eggs. You know, I kind of prefer that, but that's what that might have been exactly what Christ was talking about. Is by the time those waters, either one of those, got to Laodicea, it just wasn't good. And so it's not this thing where, you know, hot is good and cold is bad. Hot and cold both were good. But it was the lukewarm in the middle that wasn't good. It was stagnant. Almost like drinking pond water. You know? Yeah. You know? Which is obviously not a good thing. And that's where the distractions in our life bring us. They can keep us stagnant, not a good thing. Keep us wandering in our relationship with Christ, definitely not a good thing. Keeps us disconnected from Christ, or at best, just barely plugged in. It can keep us hurting. It can keep us from moving forward in our relationship. It can keep us from moving forward into God's specific purpose for our lives. And those are things that we allow into our life, those distractions that just take our attention away, just take our time away. God's presence in His Word heals us, it covers us, it restores us, protects us, and blesses every area of our life, our faith, our family, our marriages. God's Word illuminates our path. In Psalm 119, verse 105, His Word says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." A few weeks ago at work, we had a house fire, and we get off the truck, and it's probably about midnight or so. We get off the truck and look at it, and there's fire rolling out the side of the house in a couple of rooms, couple of windows. Heavy smoke pouring out of the house. And so tell my firefighter, grab one of our hoses, and we get off. And I always have a thermal imaging camera on me. Always click it on to me and stuff, just for that purpose. But we get off the truck and open the front door, and we treat every house like it's occupied. So we're going to search, we're going to go in, because in Port Arthur, a lot of times our abandoned houses are occupied by the homeless and stuff, you know. And so you never know, never know. So we open the front door and hit with a thick wall of smoke. So time to get down, we go in, and I can see fine because I have my thermal imager. My firefighter's in front of me, and he's like, "I can't see." I said, "Okay, not a problem." He doesn't have a thermal imager. I said, "All right." I said, "Fire's in this front room, knock it out." He can't even see where he's spraying. And so I'm like his eyes, tell him, "All right, a little bit more this way, a little bit more this way, whatever." He says, "Is it out?" I said, nope, not out. So let's go into the next room. And so with my thermal imaging camera, I can see through blackest of smoke. I can see, I couldn't put my thermal imaging camera down. I literally could not see my hand touching my mask. That's how thick it was. But with that camera, I can see perfectly fine. God's word is the same thing to our life. Even though it doesn't matter how dark the world gets, doesn't matter how crazy life gets, God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, allows us to see through all the junk, all the garbage, all the stuff that the world throws at us, just like my camera does. But what happens when we look a little bit deeper into our life like we're doing, and we see things that are more than distractions? Distractions sort of come from the outside and affect our life. It's those things that we, we've given priority, we've given them a place, and maybe we would like to put them down, but we don't know how. But what about the things that we don't want to put down? What about those things that we're holding on to and we just like to keep? And we know that they're a distraction, but we still like to hold on to them and keep them. That's real close to being what an idol is. And so for even Christ follower, there's times in our lives where that distraction or those things in life cross that line. All these things are, we have, our lives are filled with things that we have to do. Responsibilities, work, family. Our lives are filled with things we have to do, but they're also filled with things that we want to do. You know, I like to have time off. I like to spend time with extended family. I like to, there ain't much else I do. We like to go on vacation. We like to our newest thing is going hiking and stuff. And we like to do some of that stuff. And that's good. It's good to have things that make you feel fulfilled. It's good to have things that you're actually working on. I've got a little ADD that I keep constantly. And so if I'm just sitting around the house, not doing anything, it's almost like I go stir crazy because I have to have something to do. My mind's always thinking about, what I could be doing or whatever. And I'm the same way at work, just all the time piddling with different stuff. All of those things are necessary in our lives. But it's the things that we've let in. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's the dependence on something or someone or other people's opinions. Maybe it's money or the things that money can buy. Or maybe it's an attitude about, past hurts or attitude about people or attitude about life in general that have become an idol in our life. Something that we just can't put down. Something that we just can't ignore. But all these things in life, if we don't put them in proper context, if we don't put them in proper priority, do become idols. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And you may not have an idol of wood and stone, okay? You might not have something, some little totem sitting in your house that you would consider an idol. But those things that occupy our innermost thoughts constantly, those things that consume our time, those things that change our desires, and the things that derail our God-given purpose, man, those things are the things that we have to put down in life. And sometimes we spend so much time focusing on that thing that we neglect time with God. And when that happens, that is very possibly what you have in life. You might have set something up inadvertently that you have idolized in life. And it can be anything from money. It can be a house. It can be time away. It can be work. There's a lot of the fellas I work with that, man, they don't turn down overtime. Okay, and for us, especially this year, there's been quite a bit of overtime at work. Guys are sick. Guys are injured. And so we have, there's every day that we get overtime opportunity. And for some of the guys, I'm like, that's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money that they're making. And some of my guys that I work with, they're like, you turn down overtime all the time. And I do. Turn down overtime constantly. Because working that overtime is at least 12 hours away from my family. It's at least 12 hours away from time I could spend with them. Zach is a senior this year, and so this is his last everything. Do I make a couple hundred bucks, or do I go and watch him in the band? Well, I'm going to take the band, because those times and those opportunities you can't get back. Luke's 10, I think 10. Is he 10? Almost 10. Yes, thank you. Anyway, Luke's almost 10, and he's at that age where I'm like, I love everything that we get to do together. And so, you know, sometimes coming home and playing Minecraft is a lot better than making a couple hundred bucks. Because I'm going to spend that couple hundred bucks on stuff that's going to, you know, rot my teeth and, you know, candy and bubble gum, you know. So, but sometimes we forget that who it is, and we prioritize other things that above God, because God's the one that gave us that gift, or God's the one that gave us that promotion in life. God's the one that expands our boundaries. He's the one that enlarges our life. He's the one that gave you the job. He's the one that gave you the spouse. He's the one that gave you your family, your kids. He's the one that gave you the opportunity. So don't forget that the gift or the, you know, it's just a thing. Don't idolize them. Don't put them up on that pedestal where God belongs. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2 and 3. It says plainly, it says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And guys, we all think that the things that we do are right. We think that the things that we do are pure. We think that the people that we hold so dear, or the thoughts that we hold so dear, the reasons that we do all that, are pure. We think that the things that occupy our days or occupy our minds, they're not idols. But if we can't put them down, that's exactly what they are. And even though we think that they're good, the second part of that verse says that motives are weighed by God. So the why of why we're holding on to that, God knows that. He knows and he sees those things in our life. Verse 3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he'll establish your plans. He knows what you need in life. He knows what you have to have in life. But he also knows that He needs to be number one in your life. And so to make that relationship with God work, it takes an everyday thing. It's the same thing with marriage to your spouse. Same thing with your relationship with your spouse. It's an everyday thing. I don't see my family every day, but I talk to her every day. Talk to April every day. Talk to the boys most every day, because sometimes they don't answer their phone. You know, sometimes April doesn't answer her phone. But anyway, you know, I talk to April when she wants to talk to me. I'll put it that way. But yeah, man, it takes every day. It takes every day working on your relationship. It's an everyday thing. And there's times where, you know, we've given up what we want to do individually just to better our relationship, you know, together. And the same thing with the Lord. There's things that, you know, there's things that you may have to give up in life. There's time that you may have to give up in life. But you're going to be blessed because of it. Your life's going to be better. You think it won't be, but it will be. Your relationship with God's going to be better. He's going to show you what you were made for. He's going to, your life is going to be blessed. But we have to work on that relationship. We have to pray every day. We have to read God's word every day. We have to worship every day, every single day. Same thing with our relationship, you know, in marriage. We have to communicate every single day. We can't, if April's mad at me or if I'm, you know, upset with her or something like that, man, we can't hold on to that stuff. We have to get it out there, have to let it go, have to talk about that. And we have to communicate. Same thing in our relationship with God. We have to communicate every day. I think for the most part, you know, or at least I hope for the most part, that the idols that Christ followers put into their lives, I think it's unintentional. I don't think anybody that is a Christ follower would sit there and say, yeah, I purposely did that. I purposely walked away from God. I purposely walked away from my relationship with Him. But sometimes our lives get crowded up. Sometimes the space between our ears gets crowded up. And sometimes those other things kind of get pushed out. Sometimes our lives get to where we're just kind of sputtering through. You know, I had a Chevy S10, a few years back, and I don't know anything about cars. Okay, so I get other people to tell me, hey, this is wrong with your car. You know, so anyway, I'm going down the road one day, and my truck just, it goes from 55 to 45 like instantly. I was like, oh, this isn't good, you know. So did that for about a week, and then it got worse. And it got to the point where it was barely going, and just kind of chug along. And so I took it to a guy. He said, man, you got a clogged up fuel filter. Didn't know a car had a fuel filter. Didn't know that there was a filter that needed to go from the gas tank to the engine. I thought the engine just burned everything, you know. Come on. And so anyway, it was easy enough to replace. I went and bought the filter, got the fella to throw it on for me. And man, that truck was Cadillacing on from that point. You know, our lives do the same thing. Sometimes we get so clogged up with the cares of this world, anxiety, the fear. Just the uncertainty of life. Sometimes we get clogged up with other people's opinions of us. Sometimes we literally have made social media an idol in our life, where I'm, you know, if you post something and you only get, you know, 10 people to like what you post, you get sad. You get sad and distraught because nobody liked your stuff, man. I tell you what, if I'm one of them fellas, I got social media, got Facebook, and if you forward me anything, it dies right here. okay? I will not forward anything else. If you post what you ate for dinner, I don't care. I'm not going to lie. It's good. It's good for you. That's fine. I like family stuff. I like holidays. I like all the Christmas stuff, all the Happy New Year things. I'll probably wish you happy birthday. If your birthday pops up on my timeline, that's the only way I remember when y'all's birthdays are. You know, it pops up on my timeline and says, hey, Brooke's got a birthday today. I say, happy birthday, Miss Brooke. You know, other than that, yeah. Yeah. But that's what social media is or is supposed to be for. And don't get overwhelmed by anything that is news that pops up on social media, because it's probably not news, you know. But we can overburden ourselves and make those things in life idols where they never, ever should have been. And then if you look at the old idols in the Old Testament, what happened to them? You know, God says to destroy them, smash them, burn them, completely get rid of them. And it wasn't anything, and mind you, it wasn't anything that you're actually, that it wasn't going to affect the heart of the people that were worshiping those idols, but it was just a symbolism of tearing it down, because that's what God wants in our lives. He, not the symbolism, but he wants those idols destroyed. He wants those idols taken away. He wants those idols gone so that he can fill that void in our lives. Guys, in just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Michael, if you'll come on up here and lead us. We're going to take a little bit of time just to get things squared away with God, yourself. You can pray, you can be still, whatever you need to be. And then I'll pray for us. But this is just a time for reflection, a time for just to get your heart right with the Lord.